Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisab. Today, we're doing a Halloween special. That's right. Every year, I try to spice it up a little bit for you. Because who doesn't love Halloween, you know? And last year, we did a full, in-depth Halloween symbolism analysis. We went through the history of Halloween, Samhain, the occult significance of this holiday. Because if you are a Christian warrior, I'm here to tell you, it's not a Christian holiday, you know? And I get it. I get mixed feelings, right? I'm very nostalgic. Halloween was my favorite holiday. Well, you know, it's probably tied with Christmas. Christmas was great. As an adult, I feel like it's a trifecta of holidays with Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. They all are great. But nonetheless, you know, like at the Orthodox Church I attend, put that very loosely, we don't call it a holiday. We do a little party, a little dress-up party. You know, kids enjoy it. But we call it a fall festival because we don't, you know, because it is Illuminate Confirmed. Let's be honest about it, right? But I don't care. I have no judgments. I love Halloween. I like all the spookiness of it. So last year we did a Halloween special. I'll put the link in the show notes. You got to listen to it. Hell, you should maybe re-listen to it. And then we also did Halloween 1 from 1978, the John Carpenter classic, one of the greatest films of all time. So this year, we're going to continue on the Halloween path. We're doing Halloween 2. Now, are we going to do this every year? I don't know. I'll definitely do it next year for Halloween 3. Then after that, it gets a little dicey because I think all the sequels after that are trash. I like Halloween Rob Zombie remakes. And at the end, I'm going to go through my ranking. I've got a ranking of every Halloween movie, according to my useless opinion. So stay tuned for that, because I'm gonna tell you how these things rank. I'm here to tell you Halloween 2, what we're gonna talk about today from 1981. It don't make the cut, Chief. It just don't. All right. But today we're gonna walk through the film. We're gonna have a few laughs. We're gonna talk about some fun facts, a little occult symbolism. It's just a good time today. All right. I had a request. And gosh darn it, I forget her name. I had a request on, was it on Twitter? X? Was it on X? Which, if you don't follow me on there, at Illuminati Eyes, check it out. Let me try to pull it up here. But I had a request to do Halloween 2, and I thought, maybe I should. I don't know if I mentioned I was going to do all the films last year. Hello, Ricky requested. So I thought, you know what, that's a great idea. I don't remember if I said I was going to do it every year, but I'll try to remember for next year too. Someone remind me next year. We'll do Halloween 3, because I love Halloween 3. A much better film than Halloween 2, if you ask me. So we're going to walk through the film today. Let's do it. Should you watch Halloween 2? Absolutely you should. Of course we're going to spoil the plot, but who cares, right? You don't have to watch it before you hear this, but you know, because the Halloween movies, they're kind of the goat of the slasher franchise. Although I prefer Nightmare on Elm Street, a far superior franchise, if you ask me. But yeah, I mean, Halloween 2 is up there. It's a classic still, nonetheless, with all the trash I talk about it. It's still a classic. It was released in 1981. It's 92 minutes. It's got damn near the same soundtrack. What's there not to love? And usually we go through the cast right about now. I'm going to skip that because it's almost the same cast as Halloween 1. You know, the same players are involved. So listen to the 1978 Halloween episode. I'll link that in the show notes as well. You know, same people involved. Jamie Lee Curtis is still Laurie Strode. She was getting some smoke recently, didn't she? She posted an image on social media of some kids. At least this is what I read. I didn't care enough to dig into it. She posted an image of some kids and, you know, it was like, pray for Israel, but I guess they were Palestinian kids. I don't know, man. People want me to have an opinion on this, and my opinion is that whole area is insane. All those people are insane. So, like, I'm not taking sides on that one. Man, people are mad. I did those shows about the end of the world, and boy, oh boy, are people upset. I don't know what to tell you. Like, that whole crew is, you know, it's like, picking a side on two camps that are insane, that have been screwing with each other forever. You could make good arguments for either one. I don't have the energy for it. You know what I mean? Like, you got, it's not my thing. Mustafa Akkad, who's a Syrian American, by the way, still investing in the Halloween series. He dropped a ton of cash on the sequel, because the first one, he only invested $320K on the first one, and of course it's the highest grossing film of all time. From what I recall, Carpenter and company didn't really get to see any of that money. So he drops $2.5 million on the sequel, hoping for more of the same, and it was financially very successful. But when you watch it, you can tell we went from the 70s to the 80s. You know, they start laying in some corny takes, more gore. That was Carpenter's choice, by the way. And I'm not opposed to either of those things, right? But that's why you can't, like, the original Halloween is the GOAT. Like, there's no topping it. It was the best. Because I think 70s horror, I love 70s and 80s horror. And I think 70s has a lot, I think it's much more underappreciated. And I like it because it's a little darker. It's like full throttle, baby. All gas, no brakes. They don't give you a second to catch your breath. And it's less gore. Honestly, I like less gore. Call me an old fuddy-duddy. When I was a kid, I wanted all the gore. I wanted to see all the gooey, ooey stuff. But now I'm like, I don't want to see that anymore. But you can tell we shifted into the 80s with this film. And the film tragically inspired someone, allegedly, to commit murder. I mean, maybe they're just an insane person. I read this on the Behind the Scenes Archived website. This was, it says, a small controversy surrounded the film after its release. Richard Delmer Boyer of Fullerton, California, murdered an elderly couple while on drugs. In court, he claimed that the drugs caused him to flashback to Halloween 2 and thus commit the murder. It became known around Fullerton as the Halloween 2 murders. Oh my God. He stabbed this couple 43 times. He was high on weed, PCP, and booze. I mean, it's probably the drugs more than anything, I'm going to guess. But hey. Anyway. Okay, here we go. Let's get into it. Plot spoilers.
I shot him 6 times. I shot him in the heart. The man, he's not human.
Universal Pictures presents Halloween 2, More of the Night He Came Home.
Who is it?
There was nothing within him, neither conscience nor reason, that wasn't even remotely human.
This is some kind of a joke. I've been trick-or-treated to death tonight.
You don't know what death is.
Janet, go tell Mr. Garrett we're having trouble with the phones.
There is no place to hide. He will always find you.
What's this?
It's a Celtic word. It means the Lord of the Dead.
Halloween 2, More of the Night He Came Home.
Hey everybody, it's Isaac with a post-editing update. Turns out I'm an idiot, as one probably thought. And I thought Loomis shot Michael Myers 7 times, but then when I was reviewing all the clips to put it back together on the second viewing through, it was only 6, and I thought, how the hell did I count 7? So you're going to hear me say that he got shot 7 times. We're going to skip all that. Just ignore that. Ignore my shot count that I update by the end of the thing. It's a mess. Okay, I'm doing my best over here. All right, back to the show. And in this movie, plot spoilers coming. This is how you do a sequel. It takes us right back to 1978 Halloween 1. Back to the original night. We're resuming the action. They do a little 5-minute recap. I like that. I appreciate that. Of the ending of Halloween 1. The scene where Lori's sending the kids out. She's like, go get help. I'm going to take a little R&R right here in the doorway while Michael Myers, who's surely dead, completely dead, is dead on the ground behind me. I won't even look at him. Take a little nappy, a little break. And, you know, Michael Myers does that. He's got that core strength, does that ab mat sit up. Then old crazy Loomis comes in busting guns. He fires 7 shots. And, of course, Michael Myers goes missing, whatever, right? So now everyone's looking for him. We're in Halloween 2. They start out by playing Mr. Sandman, that old, I don't know what, 60s song? Very curious choice. I like it. And we see, you know, Michael Myers gets blasted. He goes off the roof, and then he's gone, right? Just like the end of Halloween 1. Loomis, he's investigating the front yard. Gets himself a nice little handful of blood. Does he wash it off? No, he doesn't. He's a crazy person. Instead, he yells at the neighbor, and then he runs away. He's insane. And then we get the credits. The credits finally roll. The classic soundtrack cues up. And already we're off to a better start, though. The pumpkin's better. It doesn't have that slit from the nose to the mouth. The pumpkin opens up, and you get to see a skull back there. You know, the eyes are nice and straight on it. That's where that $2.5 million went, okay? You get a better pumpkin. And it was a more iconic image to put on the cover of the VHS tape. This image is seared into my brain from childhood, strolling up and down the VHS aisles of the horror section. It's a much more iconic image than Halloween 1. So we start off, we're doing better. And I'm thinking, man, the sequel's better than the original. Well, hold that thought. So now we're doing a little POV action. It's Halloween night. And most of the town of Haddonfield, they don't know all this murder and mayhem has been going on yet. Michael Myers is sneaking around from the cops. We hear a little dog barking, only this time Michael Myers isn't going to kill or eat this one like he does in the first Halloween. And like I said, Loomis, he's running around like a maniac, because he is. He's screaming to the cops about how he shot Michael Myers 6 times, which we already know it's 7, but hey, you know, accidents happen. I shot him 6 times. He's not human. And listen, he says it 3 times. So 6 times and 3, what do you get? You get 666. Take a listen.
I shot him 6 times. What? I shot him 6 times. I shot him in the heart.
Can't have gotten very far. Come on.
I shot him 6 times. Yeah. This guy, this man, he's not human.
And recall, Loomis, worst therapist of all time. This is his patient. He's out there calling him. He's saying he's not human. He doesn't understand. He thinks Michael Myers is pure evil. There's no redeeming quality. He's all bad. And he wants to kill him. Gotta love it. So Michael Myers, he's sneaking around. He takes a little peek into this old couple's house. Granny's making a little sandwich. Grandpa's passed out on the couch. They're watching Night of the Living Dead. Good choice. You know, I say they're old. I mean, this was the 80s, so they were probably 40 years old, but they look like they're 70. And Michael Myers, he snatches himself up a nice new butcher knife. And he starts doing his creepy stroll. He sneaks into this girl's house named Alice. He shanks her, right? And we don't see the knife entry, but we do see blood splatter. A first in Halloween history, because you recall the original doesn't really have any blood at all. I don't think it has any. Which to me makes for a better film. Like, it's worse when it's in your mind. Okay, now we're over at the Haddonfield Memorial Hospital, where of course nothing good's going to happen. And they're dropping, and you could argue that maybe this is a Gnostic tale. It's showing the inversion, you know, people go to the hospital to be healed, but in the Gnostic inversion of reality, this is where they go to die. This is where pain and suffering and death and murder and mayhem go down. It's not the sanctuary at all. So is the film a Gnostic tale telling us to question reality? What's good is bad, and what's bad is good? I don't know. Let's float that out there. So we're at the hospital. And, you know, Lori, she's all jacked up. She got that stab wound, so they're dropping her off. And we hear about the emergency room doctor. He's running a little late because he's drunk. He's drunk at the country club. Take a listen. It's crazy.
Where's Dr. Mason?
He's been at the country club. I think he's drunk.
Oh, great.
What have you got?
Stab wound, left anterior chest, possibly penetrating. Multiple contusions.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go.
Fracture right ankle.
Janet, get me some more coffee.
Get that out of here.
Oh, Lori. Hi there. Well, let's see what we have here. Oh, yes. He's lost a lot of blood. We'll need to tape him. Yes. When was the last time you had a tetanus shot?
I don't know.
Yeah? Get me some 3-0 nylon on it.
Cutting needle?
Yes.
Right away.
We're going to have to put her out.
No! No, don't put me to sleep.
Okay, relax. Relax, they're not going to hurt you.
No. No. Please don't put me to sleep.
Take it easy.
Try to relax, Lori.
So this drunk-ass doctor shows up, and it's like, are they trying to insert some humor? Is that humor I detect in Halloween 2? I don't know if I like that, right? And he's like, oh, we need to put her to sleep. Lori's freaking out. Dr. Mixter, curious name. He's just like, take it easy, Lori, take it easy. Never mind, she's been through the most horrific thing a person could see in their lifetime. And Carpenter, he zooms in onto these needle pokes. Lori's getting poked with this needle. I swear, like 10 times he's zooming in. It's like, bro, like easy with the needle. Okay, so next, we got more of Loomis, and he's acting a fool. He's in the cruiser driving around with the sheriff, and he's barking orders at the sheriff, and the sheriff finally stands up for himself, and is like, bro, chill, and Loomis is like, no, bro, and he's reloading his gun, and I'm going to play the clip. It's really long because there's a couple things that happen here, and including arguably the best kill in the whole Halloween franchise. I'll say it. It's up there. It's definitely a qualified nomination, if you ask me. But Loomis, he's hangry. He's hangry for blood. Because he's a villain. And not to mention, he's totally mishandling his firearm. He's fumbling around with it. He's pointing at the sheriff. He's got his finger on the trigger the whole time. This dude's a mess. But it's going to lead into the best part of the film, I think. Loomis thinks he sees Michael Myers, so he runs after him with his loaded weapon. Never mind, it's Halloween, there's trick-or-treaters everywhere. Could just be a trick-or-treater. And, you know, and of course, you know, the sheriff's fighting with Loomis over this gun. And Loomis is going after a guy who's got a mask on. And he's like, oh my God, it's Michael Myers. Couldn't be an innocent trick-or-treating kid. And this other cop, who's doing about 100 miles an hour down these suburban roads where kids are trick-or-treating at night, slams into this supposed Michael Myers, smashing him against a van. The kid, the alleged Michael Myers, goes up in flames. And Loomis is looking at this burning corpse. And he's like, is that even him? Oops. Oopsie. And, you know, then, anyway, take a listen. I'll play the whole clip for you.
How long now? It's about 30 minutes. Put a light down there, by those trees.
Well, there's nothing.
Well, keep going.
You know, doctor, I'm just about there.
What?
The point where I stop taking orders from you.
All right, Sheriff, whatever you want. The primary concern is that we stop him.
You let him out.
I didn't.
His own goddamn doctor.
I didn't. Let him out.
Chief Brackett, come in, please. Chief Brackett come in, please?
Who is it?
Chief, this is Ramsey.
Say again, what is it?
This is Ramsey.
Where are you?
I'm out by the bakery, moving north on the Scottsville Road.
Get the hell back into town. Go up 17th Street and meet me by the bypass.
10-4, Ramsey.
Will you put that thing away? Couldn't have shot him 6 times.
You think I'm lying, Sheriff?
I think you missed him. No man could take 6 slugs.
I've told you this isn't a man.
Look out, slow down.
What?
Over there, look.
Is that him?
I don't know. Get back. Run, go on, run.
Move it.
Get back. Get back, you kid, run.
Come on, man.
Stop, get out of here.
Come on, man.
Stop. Stop. Shoot. Stop, go.
He came out of nowhere. I couldn't stop.
Is it him? Is it him or not?
So the incompetence in the town is increasing exponentially, all right? And then the sheriff finds out his daughter's freaking dead. And now he's blaming Loomis for letting this psychopath out, even though that's not really what happened. So anyways, back to Haddonfield Memorial. Jimmy, he's one of the paramedics. He goes in to visit Lori. He seems to know her. It's kind of a recurring part of the film. Then we hear a news reporter telling us that Michael Myers is believed to be burned to death. They caught him. They caught this killer. They're not sure, though. Fake news. And Loomis, he wants to check out the dental work. He's like, I don't know if this burned up corpse is Michael Myers or not. We need to do some dental work. And then back to the Memorial Hospital. We meet the ambulance driver, Bud. Apropos name, because he's smoking Bud in the break room. Which, I'm going to put a photo on the Instagram. At Isaac Weisout, like and subscribe. I'll put a photo. You can see the hospital. They got all these Halloween decorations, right? As a hospital would. But they also decorated with pineapples. And I wonder if that's not some kind of swinger symbolism they're trying to implant here. It doesn't make any sense. Because, you know, the upside down, and they're not upside down, they're upright. But upside down pineapples traditionally is a sign of swinging. Don't ask me the details. I don't know if it means like soft swap or full swap couples. You could look it up. But pineapples are sort of a symbol for swinging, all right? But Michael, he's lurking because he knows Lori's in the hospital. And then there's a security guard who's reading a magazine while he's watching The Night of the Living Dead again. Good choice. And then we got Jimmy. He's friends with Lori, so he's talking to her too much. In the mythology of the Halloween, his brother Ziggy went to school with Lori. That's how he knows her. But he breaks the news to Lori that Michael Myers was the name of the person who tried to kill her. And he almost drums up a little sympathy for Michael Myers, saying that they should have been more careful with this guy. And we hear all, and Lori kind of reacts to it, right? A little foreshadowing. And we also hear that Lori's parents were at the party that Dr. Mixter was at. You know, where he was getting loaded before his night shift at the emergency room on Halloween, like a doctor does, apparently. And that makes me think of the pineapple thing, and I think, oh, is there some swinger parties going on in Haddonfield? What's going on here? Anyhow, the phone lines go out of the hospital. Uh-oh. So the security guard, he's like, I'm going to go check it out. You know, that's clearly a death sentence. Sure enough, claw hammer to the dome. He's done. Loomis, he's checking out the charred remains of this alleged Michael Myers. And they're like, no, this guy's 17. You're 18. Michael Myers is 21. And they're kind of more upset that they didn't catch Michael. They didn't No F's given that they killed an innocent child on Halloween. None whatsoever. So the cop, an officer, because the sheriff's now, he's home mourning his daughter who just got killed. A cop and Officer Loomis, they show up to the Myers house because there's people rioting at this point. Because now everybody knows what's going on. Loomis, of course, gun in hand. You know, he's like, he says, fighting's my sense of security. I mean, he's totally a bad guy. This guy is down for some violence. Then we find out Ben Tramer's missing. And the last time his friend saw him, he was wearing this mask. So Loomis is like, oh, that's the kid that we ramrodded. Okay, cool. Yeah, that wasn't Michael Myers. Then back to the hospital. Bud, right? Bud. Of course, Bud insists on banging the nurse while she's on duty, right? He tells her that his finger needs therapy. So they go to the spa therapy room. And to be fair to Bud, he does look like he has a gentle touch. So, you know, he's a romantic. So they're in the spa room, and Michael turns the heat controls all the way up. And it's getting hot, so Bud's like, I gotta go check it out. Why is this getting so hot? So you know he's as good as dead. Then Michael goes into the spa room to get the nurse, and he kills her by shoving her head into the now boiling hot water, which melts her face off. But first, and maybe worst of all, she thinks Michael Myers' hand is Bud's hand. Because Michael Myers comes up behind her and she puts his dirty thingy in her mouth. That's so terrible. Oh, boy. That's probably the most horrific thing of the whole movie is her sucking on his dirty thingy. Like, think how much dirt and blood is on that finger. Oh, my God. It's upsetting. So, Lori, she's having a dream and it's her as a child. She's talking to her mom. And her rotten-ass mom says, I told you, I'm not your mother. Like, geez, what's wrong with this whole family? Then she has a flashback of seeing her brother in a sort of padded room, like a insane asylum, which you think, oh, that's Michael Myers. So Lori's Michael's sister? Huh, really interesting. Then we go back to Loomis, and he's still trying to convince these cops that what they're dealing with is supernatural, and he describes the pagan ritual holiday of Samhain. And it foreshadows a little bit of Halloween 3. Even the weird rune tattoo plot of the later Halloween films. I'll play the clip.
What's this?
It's gibberish. No. It's a Celtic word. Samhain. It means the Lord of the Dead. The end of summer. The festival of Samhain. October 31st.
Now, we'll actually come back to that in a minute. So, hang on. Let's get through a little more storyline. The governor orders Loomis to go back to the mental hospital. He's like, dude, this lunatic's running around with a gun. Like, take his ass back to the mental hospital where he belongs. And a marshal is going to take him there, right? And, you know, Loomis isn't having that, right? You know that, right? Meanwhile, Dr. Mixter, he's in his lounge, chilling in his chair, and a nurse comes in to talk to him, and sure enough, he's dead. He's staring at a fish tank with a big-ass hypodermic needle in his eyeball. He's dead. And the nurse, when she realizes that he's dead, here comes Michael Myers behind her, and he's got a needle for her, too, and he shoves it in her temple. And gives her that same look that he gave Bob in Halloween 1 when Bob was hanging up. Remember that? He hangs him with a scalpel and then he kind of stares at him and cocks his head like an animal. But you can see this one's straight gore. This is very, you can see the needle pierce this nurse's temple. This is very Dario Argento-esque, right? Especially with the needle in the eye because Argento was always, you know, it makes you squeamish. Terrible. So meanwhile, Michael, he's in hot pursuit of Lori in the hospital, which actually has some very creepy vibes because the power must be out, right? The power's out. There's no lighting. And that nurse that caught the needle to the dome, she's put on an autopsy table already, and her entire body's drained of blood. They're moving very quickly with her. And here comes Jimmy. He shows up and he slips on her blood like it's the Three Stooges slipping on a banana peel. I was like, oh dear, why is Halloween going in this direction? What are we doing here? So Michael, he scalpels another nurse for good measure, and Lori sees it, and now she's like, oh, here comes Myers. She starts running away. She sees the dead security guard strung up. Because, you know, Michael is really into the theatrics of the kills. He likes to kill them and then sort of set up shop for people to find. You know, remember in Halloween 1, Lori saw Bob swinging? Like, what the hell? Anyways, back to Loomis and Sawin, right? So Loomis, he's now talking to, I don't remember who it is, someone in the back of the crew, because he's in the marshal is under governor's orders to take Loomis back to this mental hospital, so there's some lady in the back seat with him. And he's talking about the druids doing these blood sacrifices to read the future, and how Sawin is the subconscious mind channeling the darkness of the shadow. And we're going to hear some confirmation about Lori's bloodlines and find out just how far Loomis is ready to take this whole thing, right? Because, you know, after we hear that there's a file confirming Lori is Michael's sister and she was adopted, and Loomis is like, oh man, Myers is definitely going to kill Lori now. So he does what any insane therapist would do. He fires a warning shot through the moving car and orders the marshal at gunpoint to turn the cruiser around because you know what? Don't test Loomis. He's about that action. Mr. Body Catcher, Slaughter Gang, Soul Snatcher. That's him. Take a listen.
You didn't believe me, nobody did.
I'm sorry.
Don't feel sorry for me. Feel sorry for that little town back there. The years before they forget this.
Dr. Loomis, I think there's something else you should know.
You see the blackboard back there in the elementary school?
Yeah.
In order to appease the gods, the druid priests held fire rituals. Prisoners of war, criminals, the insane, animals were burned alive in baskets. By observing the way they died, the druids believed they could see omens of the future. 2,000 years later, we've come no further. Samhain isn't evil spirits. It isn't goblins, ghosts, or witches. It's the unconscious mind. We're all afraid of the dark inside ourselves.
Dr. Loomis, please, listen to me. There's a file on Michael Myers that nobody knew about.
I've seen everything.
No, it was hidden, sealed by the court after his parents were killed. Now, after the governor heard what happened tonight, he authorized Dr. Rogers to open it.
What file?
It isn't fair. They should have allowed you to examine everything. That girl, that Strode girl, that's Michael Myers' sister. She was born 2 years before he was committed. 2 years after, his parents died and she was adopted by the Strodes. They requested that the records be sealed in order to protect the family.
Jesus, don't you see what he's doing here in Haddonfield? He killed one sister 15 years ago. Now he's trying to kill the other. Tonight, after I shot him, where did they take her?
The clinic.
Clinic? Where? Do you know this area well?
A little bit.
Where's the hospital located?
Dr. Loomis, we're under orders from the governor.
It's back on Route 17, about 3 miles.
Turn this car around now.
I can't do that. I've got orders.
Those orders just changed.
Dr. Loomis.
Doctor, you're getting yourself into a lot of trouble.
What is it you fellas usually do? Fire a warning shot, right?
Mr. Body Catcher. So, Sawin, we talked about this on the Halloween 1 show last year in 22. And it was inspired by the Celtic festival, obviously. And it was actually part of Halloween 1's plot, but you didn't hear about it. Deborah Hill said, "The idea was that you couldn't kill evil, and that's how we came up with the story. We went back to the old idea of Samhain, that Halloween was the night where all the souls are let out to wreak havoc on the living. Then came up with the story about the most evil kid who ever lived. And when John Carpenter came up with this fable of a town with a dark secret of someone who once lived there, and now that evil has come back, that's what made Halloween work." Right? And we talked about how the ideas of Samhain comes from Fraser's Golden Bough, where the Irish believed in these Fomorians, these malevolent spirits that would show up when the veil was thin on October 31st, which I guess Michael Myers is a Fomorian. We went way deeper into this topic last year, okay, on the Halloween special. Again, I'm going to link all those in the show notes. There's two other episodes if you want more on this, all right? We talk about the Halloween one from 78 and the Halloween, you know, Samhain symbolism show we did, same time. But 2,000 years later, we've come no further. That's what Loomis says. Old crazy Loomis. Is he saying that they're doing the blood sacrifices still? I believe that does happen. I believe that's still happening to this day. Anyway. Okay, so Jimmy, he's slipped sliding around playing games. He's freaked out, though. And he wants to help Lori escape. And boy, is he doing a lousy job. He passes out in the car. His head hits the horn. Totally getting the attention of Michael Myers, so he knows exactly where Lori is. What a joke. So Lori, she sees Loomis and the marshal finally show up. And she's a dummy, too. She just can't muster up a scream to get their attention until after they get into the hospital. Then she can scream. Loomis is in there calling the shots as usual, including locking the hospital door. So now Lori can't get in, and Michael Myers is in the parking lot tracking her down like a predator. So Loomis finally lets Lori in. Michael Myers comes storming through the glass door. Loomis puts 5 more shots in him. Now we're at 12, if you're keeping count. That's 12 shots into Michael Myers. So finally he's dead, right? Jeez, oh, I can't believe it. Well, the marshal foolishly believes that, even though Loomis is skeptical. So you know what's going to happen, right? The marshal kind of leans in to check if he's breathing against Loomis's better advice. Myers sits up and he slices the marshal's throat. He's dead now. So Lori and Loomis, they run to the surgery room. Michael busts through the door, stabs Loomis in the chest with his trusty scalpel. He's marching towards Lori, but she's got a gun. She gets a clean headshot in. And shoots him once more for good measure. That's 14 shots now in this guy. But he's still swinging that scalpel around. He's kind of messed up, though. He's phased at this point because he's got a headshot. And Lori opens up. Lori and Loomis, they open up all the gas containers. And now Michael can't see. You know, he's probably got blood all over his eyes. I don't know. He's just blindly swinging this scalpel. Loomis tells Lori to get out of there. She does. He flicks his lighter. He says, and he's still in the room. He says, "It's time, Michael." Lights his lighter, knowing it's a kamikaze mission, and they both explode. Finally, Michael Myers is dead. And so is the other villain, Loomis, right? The end. Just kidding. Of course. Of course I'm just kidding. Michael walks out of this surgery room on fire, and then he finally passes out. Okay, now it's over. Now it's over. Lori survives. She's the last girl. She survives. They cart her off in a wheelchair and into another ambulance as we hear Mr. Sandman playing yet again. And the credits roll, and it's a wrap. That's Halloween 2. Now, in conclusion, you can tell this one was definitely inspired by the 80s slasher vibes. Some really bizarre choices made here. You can tell that Carpenter was pushing for more gore. I don't know about these jokes and things. Started drifting from the original. Got a little cornier. Lost a lot of magic, in my opinion. And I'm not sure why. You know, Carpenter and Deborah Hill, they wrote it. Carpenter directed most of it, even though Rick Rosenthal got the credits. Same actors, you know. I don't understand why people think this one is so great. They think this one's better than the Rob Zombie remakes, which is insane to me. The zombie films are clearly better in many ways than Halloween 2. That's sacrilege to say out loud, but I'm saying it. And as far as the future goes, we don't see Michael Myers return in Halloween 3. And I think that's good. I liked Halloween 3. You know, John Carpenter originally wanted the Halloween series to be anthology films, like totally different films every time. And I think Halloween 2 proved that the Michael Myers thing was tired. It was over. It's done. But they brought him back for Halloween 4, which was trash. Now, you heard me talk about my ranking of all the Halloween films. I made a ranking, was it last year, the year before? And I'm going to run through the, you know, you can go to my Letterboxd. Of course, Isaac Weishaupt on Letterboxd as well. Be sure to like and subscribe. I do little diaries of the films when I watch them or what I think. Usually short, usually funny. All right? According to me. I'm going to run down. This is the 13 Halloween film. And I heard that they're making a Halloween TV show. Of course, I'll watch it like an idiot. Here's my list. Coming in at number 13. Oh boy. It's Halloween Resurrection. And I knew we were in trouble when I saw Busta Rhymes was in this. Easily the worst. Doesn't have Dr. Loomis. Trash. Number 12, Halloween 5. This is the only thing that makes this movie anything sort of redeeming is that Loomis is full psychopath. Number 11, The Recent Halloween Ends. It was fine. It was actually a fine movie, but, you know, number 11. Number 10 is Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers. This is where they introduced the idea of the Course of Thorn. I like that. Paul Rudd was in it. Loomis was tired through the whole movie. Not good. Number 9, Halloween H2O. And a lot of people love H2O. I thought it was trash. I mean, it was fine. But in terms of the Halloween classics, no, it's bad. L Cool J's in there. It's going to be trash. So that's number 9. Number 8 is Halloween 4, which I don't like that one either. I mean, Halloween 4 was decent, but then they really screwed it up with Halloween 5, which I put near the bottom. Okay, number 7 is this movie we just talked about, Halloween 2. I don't like the comedy break in it. The gore was like made it not scary. I don't know. Okay. Then we got number 6. Halloween Kills from 2021. You know, these remakes. A lot of people don't like David Gordon Green remakes. I thought they were pretty good. I liked them. I don't know what there is to hate about it. But I put that as number 6. It's better than Halloween 2 from 81. Then I got number 5 is the Rob Zombie Halloween, the original. Because the original, he was sort of forced into fitting a certain narrative, from what I understand. He wasn't allowed to sort of do the Rob Zombie thing. So that's why it's as low as 5. Otherwise, it would be higher. Number 4 is the 2018 Halloween. And I thought it was great. The beginning of it's awesome, you know? With the dogs barking and Michael Myers is out on that pad and the music cues up. Then finally, the top 3. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch is number 3. Loved it. Adore it. Got tattoos of it. That's how much I love it. Number 2 is the Halloween sequel from Rob Zombie, Halloween 2. I know, controversial take. But it is. Watch all the movies and you tell me that Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 isn't the second best. And then of course you know the first, the original, the OG. Halloween 1, 1978. You'll never beat it. It's impossible. It's a perfect movie in every way. So there you go. That's my full list. Check out in the show notes. I'm going to post links to the Halloween 1 film analysis I did last year, as well as the Halloween symbolism analysis of Samhain, the occult symbolism. Fantastic shows. Some of the highest listened shows I've done. So Take a listen to those. And I'll put some of these images I'm talking about on Instagram, @IsaacWiseup, like I said, and have a happy Halloween. Stay woke.